Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, Disciple of City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how to share the gospel and live a kingdom culture lifestyle. For more information on how your church and organization can be equipped, go to our website at discipleofcity.ca, and you can find heaps of information there, including a free video series to help you make disciples. Friends, I talk a lot about it, and I hope you have it now, but the United Hive app right here. The United Hive app is an app created to share those testimonies and encounters that you're having with people. It's being used all over the world, and you can post testimonies of salvations, of healings, of deliverance, of baptisms with videos and pictures. Download the United Hive app today everywhere that you download apps. And friends, Disciple of City is working right here. We're doing the 100K Harvest, where we are partnering with ministries and churches all across the country to see 100,000 Canadians hear the gospel in 2025. One of the ministries that we are partnering with is Burn Canada. And I'm sure, or hopefully, you're familiar with that. Burn Canada is the Canadian leg of the Let Us Worship movement. And Sean Foyt from Let Us Worship, the leader of Let Us Worship, is coming to Canada to 11 cities this summer. And today I have the opportunity to talk to Sean and hear his heart, little background about himself, his testimony, how Let Us Worship began, and what his heart is for Canada. Let's check that out. Bro, I know, just before we start, I know you want to focus most of the stuff on talking about Canada, which is awesome. Our show is primarily testimony based, right? And if you think it would be cool, man, I think Canadians would really love to know a little bit about Sean. So if we could do like 5 minutes just about, you know, like your heart, who you are, and then spend the rest of the time talking about Canada and Let Us Worship, would that be cool?
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I love sharing my testimony. I mean, I think it just, it's just a life surrendered to God, you know. I grew up as a missions kid. My parents were full-time medical missionaries, and grew up just with a heart for the nations and just to go wherever he said to go and do whatever he said to do. And, you know, that led me as a kid to lead trips all over the world, through high school, through college, and then eventually, you know, going in full-time ministry right out of college and starting the Burn 24/7, which was a worship and prayer movement that is now in 300 cities around the world. And in Canada still to this day, which is really awesome. And then, you know, off of that, we started to do kind of more missions around the world. So then Light a Candle was birthed out of the Burn, and that is a kind of our missions movement that we have in different nations around the world. We lead about 20 short-term trips, and then we have two bigger bases, one in northern Iraq and then one in India. And in India, we've rescued, you know, almost 1,500 children from the child sex trade and human trafficking and child labor camps. And then obviously during the pandemic, you know, as everything was shut down, you know, there was something that rose up inside of me to stand up, you know, for what we believe in and our right to worship, biblically our call to do that, but also constitutionally in the U.S. And so that kind of where that movement was born, and it's opened doors for us all over, you know, in the political space and in different nations. And yeah, so I'm kind of I do a mixture of all of those things together, but I think overarching the testimony is just when you surrender your life to God and you give him your yes, there's no place that he won't bring you. And there's no place that, that, you know, you won't have to say, if you give him your yes, you're willing to do whatever he says. So whether for some seasons it might be controversial or it might be applauded or it might be encouraged or it might be persecuted, it really doesn't matter. You're not doing it for anyone else but him. So,
amen.
Yeah, that's the journey we've been on. It's been wild. It's been fun, exhausting, exhilarating, difficult, but very beautiful, and super grateful for all of the different seasons. And I have a wife and four kids, and so that keeps me pretty busy too. And you know, being a dad, being a husband, leading these different movements, And so it's good though. We're so grateful for God's faithfulness and really just his consistent, through all these seasons and all these different movements, he's always met us where we needed. And we're grateful for that.
Yeah. And that led us worship when you started that in the U.S. I mean, for me, I thank you personally for it, because it was something, this is where I discovered you through social media. And at that time, it was just so encouraging to see. And it was, you know, just this feeling of, oh, wouldn't that be awesome if it was here? So as you pushed through that, what sort of led you, when did you start thinking about North of the Border?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Montana, so I, you know, Canada was like almost a second home nation to me. That was back when you just needed a license, your parents needed a license to cross the border. But so I grew up going in and out of Canada a lot. I've done a lot of ministry in Canada, like tons, over, you know, all the different years and many provinces and many different denominational settings and ethnic settings and, I mean, it's a very amazing, eclectic, beautiful nation. I've been pretty consistent with, you know, preaching there, doing worship there, mobilizing gatherings there. And when I think I saw the level of tyranny and governmental overreach, not just me, I think the whole world saw that, and they were just, people were shook, you know? And I'm not talking about like American media. I mean, I had friends that were drug off to prison for having church. And that's just something you really never expected in a nation like that, that it would take place. But yet there we were. And so, you know, I saw the freedom and the breakthrough that the Let Us Worship movement brought to California, where I live. And then, you know, New York and some of these other really locked down states. And I just was like, God, as soon as they release the vaccine mandate, you know, to get in there, because, you know, it's kind of a line in the sand for me, is all my family are doctors and nurses. And, you know, it's just unnecessary to have a forced, you know, vaccine like that. And that was kind of in place. And so it really prohibited us from going to Canada. And I said, as soon as that's released, you know, as soon as they let that down, we're gonna come in there, and we're gonna just bring this, really bring the same breakthrough we've stewarded in the U.S. across the border. And so, you know, the first time that we did, it was just powerful. It was really, really. I was really moved by the hunger and the raw passion by the people in Canada, and we saw it. I think that first time that we came, the first year, I think we went to three cities, and it was just amazing. And then last year, I think we went to four, and of course, coming up this summer, we're going to be going to 11. So, it's amazing to see what God has done, the hunger in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the, you know, governmental overreach, in the midst of whatever. It's like the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. So,
amen. Did you, I mean, people are people, right? When people are seeking the Lord, but as you traveled around the U.S. and when you came to Canada, you said like you saw this really, really deep hunger. Did you see more of that in your second year of coming here? I mean, I know how you said that you experienced loss.
I think they were different. I mean, in the second year, we were able to go to, you know, different places. So that was cool. You know, I just think it's building and it's stirring. And I think that there's, you know, one of the things that was a really good byproduct of that COVID season is you got to kind of find out who the real bold, kingdom people were, you know, that were willing to stand up and call out, you know, just like the book of Acts, you know, that were like Peter and Paul, the ones that carried that kind of authority to call out the wickedness of the leaders and the oppression of people. And I think that it's cool to be a partner with those leaders and to, you know, pour gas on the fire that's already burning there. So, I think, you know, the more that we've come, the deeper the connection has been to those people in those cities. And I'm just really thrilled to get the opportunity to do that now. And, gosh, I don't even know how many provinces we're going to. A lot. I think maybe 9 different provinces, 10 different provinces across the nation. So I'm excited to see what God is doing in all these places, and then be able to report to the world, you know, hey, the church is alive, you know, from Nova Scotia to PEI and Nova Scotia all the way to Vancouver. God is moving in the nation of Canada.
Yeah, he is moving. He is moving. And we're honored to partner with Burn Canada too, with our ministry and what we're doing along the way with all this. What would be your real heart's desire to see at the very beginning, like as soon as you get here with the East Coast? You're starting in the East Coast, so in Halifax and the Maritimes. You know, we're all Canadian and stuff, but similar to the U.S., right? People are, we're all the same, but we're a little bit different. There's such a laid back vibe in the East Coast, but really passionate, open, welcoming people. But also the same problems that are going on around the North America, right, with addiction and homelessness and stuff like that. So, and what would you really hope to see of like a fire from your very first show in Canada in Halifax?
Yeah, I think, you know, mobilizing, I think that we need like a historic mobilization of the church. Like, I feel like people need to come out of hiding. They need to come out of their offenses and their issues. But like, we don't have the, a lot of my friends say this in persecuted regions in the world, like the church doesn't have the privilege of being divided. And kind of that would be my message to Canada right now. Like, we don't have the privilege to be divided. Like, there are forces of darkness. You mentioned them, you know, addiction, corruption, governmental overreach and tyranny. You have, you know, all kind of issues, you know, wreaking havoc on and coming against the true call that Canada has to be a leaf of healing to the nations, right? The number of missionaries and gospel proclamation and just goodness that has normally been exported from Canada has diminished. You know, and if we want the flame to burn hot and bright around the world from Canada, it needs to burn the brightest at home. And so that's really my prayer is, you know, I don't have time to do tours. I have no interest in doing a nice Christian music tour and, you know, having people feel good and warm and fuzzies. I don't have enough days left in my life for that. I want to see an army mobilized, an army of the kingdom of God mobilized and activated in every city and every province to go and do the kingdom work. And I think in order for that to happen, we need really historic mobilization. And, you know, this will be a good litmus test for where Canada is at. You know, we're coming on our own accord, we're bringing a massive band sound system, we're setting up, we're doing all the work to make it as easy as possible for people to engage. And all they got to do is show up, you know, and be a part of it. And so, you know, we have seen in South Africa and other nations where we brought Let Us Worship, you know, South Africa, India, Australia, different countries around the world where we've come and brought the same thing. The response has been unbelievable. And so I really have high expectations for what it's going to be like in Canada. I think we're coming at the right time. I think that this is a historic initiative. I really haven't heard of anything like this. A coast-to-coast revival or bust on the level that we're doing it at. I mean, this I believe is going to be awesome. And so excited to see, and our prayer is that, again, partnering with local leaders, partnering with these cities and the communities, activating the body of Christ, and then also helping deposit the DNA of the burn furnaces that can continue to fan into flame the gift of God along these cities far past the time we leave.
Yeah. I really like that, what you said, that you don't have time. Isn't that so key, right, in faith, is to just have that sense of urgency that there's so many people that need to hear the gospel. And yeah, that feeling inside of we only have so much time and there's so many people. I really love that you do outdoor events, because when you do an indoor event, I mean, they're all great too, and people bring people, but you don't know what's going on, right? You can't hear, you know, something's going on, but people aren't necessarily as easy to walk up into an indoor event. Has it always been outdoor for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it started outdoor because we couldn't meet in our churches, and our churches were shut down. And, you know, so we, you know, we just started meeting wherever, you know, okay, we don't need our church buildings to be the church. We are the church. Let's meet on the beach. Let's meet in a street corner. Let's meet in a park. You know, the amazing thing about believers is that, you know, we could show up in the presence of God. You know, he's omnipresent. He can show up with us wherever we go. So, you know, I think even a lot of our prayer has been, you know, praying into the strategic nature of where to do these and where to go. And I feel like we've found a real, some really amazing locations that I think are going to, you know, we're going to get a lot of bystanders and a lot of people that are going to be able to come by, that maybe probably wouldn't step foot into a church. But they're going to be there in the park or on the street or, you know, walking through the city, and we get the chance to expose them to the presence of God and his love.
Yeah. Which is so awesome. And you know, Sean, I'm no spring chicken, you know, but I know that this country has become divided, both politically like never before, and both denominationally, although that's probably always been there, but to more of a degree, like in Christianity with the different churches and stuff. So these types of things are so good to bring that unity, especially denominationally. And I know that, you know, all different denominations are aware that you're coming and getting behind it and going to come. You know, do you have a word for that, for unity, for those denominations within Christianity?
I think that, you know, unity and uniformity are two different things. I think that that's, you know, when you're talking about doing something on the level that we are, where it spans so many provinces and so many cities and so many socioeconomical zones and ethnic zones and even language zones, you know, talking about some of the French Canadian parts that we're going to be going into, it really is important to understand that we, you know, that call, you know, that Book of Psalms, you know, that blessed are those, they're the blessing of the Lord following the unity, you know. When brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, there's a blessing. There's a oneness. There's this realization that we're children of God. You know, we're people of God, of his kingdom first, before citizens of Canada, you know, before citizens of a political ideology. And that's the thing. I think a lot of times, you know, we're kingdom people, you know? And so when we declare things like we're going to worship no matter what, that's not a political statement. That's a kingdom statement. You know, when we're kingdom people, when we say that we're going to stand for the life of everybody, the most vulnerable, even the unborn, that's not a political statement. That's a kingdom statement. You know, we're kingdom people, right? So it transcends political boundaries. However, I think in Canada, there really does need to be a movement of unity. And, you know, we have to unify around the word of God. Not around figureheads or policies or politics or, you know, where you are on the spectrum. Like this, we unify around the word of God. And that is what is going to be preached. That is what we're going to respond to. That is what is going to pierce the hearts of men. And that ultimately is the only thing that can change a nation.
Yeah, come on. Come on. So good. So good. Hey, Sean, I really want to respect your time. I know you're on a tight schedule today, man. I just want to thank you so much for coming and sharing your heart. We so look forward to having you here as a nation from coast to coast. Our ministry will be praying for you guys and that many, many come. And like I was saying earlier, like other places, Canada is every city that you're going to is experiencing homelessness and addiction. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be the major cities, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, but everywhere you're going is experiencing that right now. So we're just thankful that you're coming in that outdoor thing and coming from a place of, you know, you don't have time to do that nice, bubbly, feel good message.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, all of these places, I mean, Halifax, Moncton, Prince Edward Island, Quebec City, Ottawa, Toronto, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, Edmonton, Kelowna, Abbotsford, all of the cities I mentioned, as 11 of them, you know, those all are crying out for the revelation of the Son of God to be revealed. And so that's our heart above everything else. And man, we need a lot of prayer and a lot of support. So, you know, some of the takeaways here before I go, for those that, you know, are watching this and listening and, you know, you're starting to hear, maybe hope is rising in your heart for Canada and what's going to happen this summer. First of all, we want you guys to pray with us. Pray with us that this would be a massive move of God. It is, you know, I think God's going to do some really amazing things, even among the contention between the two countries right now, U.S. and Canada. Like, I think that, man, we're going to rise even above that. And it's just going to be kingdom people, Jesus people, you know, crying out for a breakthrough. So pray with us. You can also give. It's an astronomically crazy amount of money to do this. It's a massive risk. And for Let Us Worship, we've always had like this principle, like, we're not going to charge people for this. Like, we're bringing the best sound system that I've ever seen on the road in Canada. We're bringing an amazing band. There's going to be incredible worship, prayers, dynamic preaching. We don't want to charge anything. But in order to make that happen, we need a lot of help. So you guys can support what we're doing. You can donate, you can pray, and you can go. You can show up in one of these 11 cities. None of you that are watching or listening will have any excuse, because we're coming to literally, I think, almost every time zone in your country. So we're excited, grateful for the opportunity, and thank you so much for helping us spread the word.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We are going to plug those at the end of the show too, those exact dates and all those areas that you were coming. So yeah, once again, Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to share your heart with us. And we look forward to seeing everybody out there. And Sean, I will see you in Toronto. I'll be at the Toronto show. And if you need an extra guy for the band, you just let me know, bro.
Awesome. All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
God
Sean.
Bless. See you soon.
Take care, bro. Great opportunity to talk to Sean today and hear his heart and that passion too, that sense of urgency. That really moved me in a good way, you know, about how he doesn't want to do this feel-good show. He just feels an urgency that he doesn't have so much time left and just really wants to share the word. And I felt that many times myself, and I hope you feel that way too, because really, you never know when the time is up and there is an urgency, because there's so many people out there that are broken that don't know Jesus, and we need to share that with him. We need to evangelize and share with people the freedom, the message that was shared with us at one point that helped us see freedom. So friends, Sean mentioned the dates. Well, he mentioned the cities, and here are the dates. It's July 23rd in Halifax, July 24th in Moncton, New Brunswick, July 25th in Quebec City, the 26th in Ottawa, July 27th in Toronto, just ripping right across the country. They dip down to the U.S. and they come back up for Central and Western Canada, August 20th in Winnipeg, Manitoba, August 21st in Saskatoon, August 22nd in Edmonton, Alberta, August 23rd in Kelowna, and August 24th in Abbotsford. Friends, like he said, show up at one of these shows. Go and check it out. Even if you just get to the outskirts, if you're not sure, just go and check it out. You can volunteer. Burn Canada. Burn Canada's website will be in the description. You can click on that and you can volunteer. You can help out with this and be part of it. Be part of it as a volunteer. Be part of it and just go. Just go and let's worship.